I must ask myself that question, as you must ask yourself that question. Are you ready to put away everything in your life? He said everything, not most things, not little things. He said everything must be have put away. The readiness in your life must be there to do that. Well, are you ready to let God take away any and all disobedience out of your life? Do you have that readiness? Say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, if you don't have that readiness, let me ask you this. Would you pray, God, give me that readiness? Give me that readiness that Paul had to, if need be, beat my body spiritually into subjection every day, that I might totally and freely, individually and personally obey the Lord. That readiness must be in us, church. It must be in us as individuals. A readiness to revenge, bring revenge upon those disobedient things.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. You're about to hear a message from James Strickland about disciplined disciples. And I am not, but if I was like an army lieutenant, I would talk to the Christians like this. Why, you little silly, sloppy group of no good misfits. Think about it. How many of us signed up to follow Jesus and have done nothing to discipline ourselves, to make sure we read the Bible, to make sure we know anything more about God? We just take in what we get on Sundays, maybe Wednesdays, that's it? Do we actually make it a point to study for ourselves, to get to know this God? Not to just hear about Him from other people, but to actually get to know Him. Are we disciplined at all? Well, this will be a message from Pastor James Strickland. You can visit us online at our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We also live stream, or you can join us for live services. We do the face masks and the temperatures at the door, 10:45 on Sunday. We live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. You get all the directions and information online. God bless you. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
If it's not your desire to serve the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and body, then pray God give you that desire today. Amen. Amen. In thinking about our times today and the condition under which we're living and the direction where we're headed, I believe it's time for disciples of Jesus Christ to be more determined to serve Him than ever before. Because I certainly believe, beloved, our time is short, and I believe our Lord Jesus is going to come soon. And whatever amount of work the church and God's disciples, Christians, are going to get done, we better do it while we're still free to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So with those thoughts in mind, I want you to turn with me in the second book of Corinthians, chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 4 through verse number 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, and preach a message about the determination of disciples. And I'm going to use Paul here as an example to speak to our hearts by the Spirit of God today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through verse 6. Paul writes and he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." Mighty, he says, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you've ever studied anything about the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll readily know that Paul was always constantly bombarded by some kind of principle of the world, some kind of worldly philosophy, or some kind of worldly view. And beloved, listen, we're not far removed from that today, are we? Aren't we constantly bombarded with some kind of new principles or some kind of new philosophy or some kind of new worldview today, we're not that far from it, are we? Whether they be physical, whether they be spiritual, whether they be mental, social, whatever it may be, we're faced like Paul, and we must wage war against them. In the spiritual realm, please don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. If we're determined to personally discipline ourselves, we can wage war spiritually against these strongholds that he talks about here that are coming against us. Because you see, Paul says we have means, we have power, we have availability to us, means way beyond worldly power, way beyond worldly means, and way beyond worldly thoughts to deal with these things. Paul says our warfare transcends all the warfare of the world. And Paul had the victory. I know if you've listened to Paul and looked at Paul's life and read his story, his testimonies, you know that Paul had the victory, didn't he? And he says to us today, if we're going to have the victory today, we're going to have to be disciplined in our lives spiritually as Paul was in his life. We've got to realize again and remember, the Christian life is not a parade. We're finding that out already, aren't we? In fact, it is a crusade, isn't it? It's a war that we have to wage as God's children. And it takes discipline to wage a war, doesn't it? We've got to be disciplined if we're going to gain the victory in these days in which you and I are living. The battle here, Paul talks about, is spiritual warfare. And we have to use spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual warfare, don't we? Do you want the victory as a church? I do. You want the victory as a human being, as a Christian individually? I do. I want to see the church rise up victorious in these horrible days in which you and I are living. If we're going to gain the victory, we're going to have to gain it like Paul did. There's some things here I want to show you and share with you. Three things in particular that will take place if we're disciplined spiritually as we need to be. Paul says, first of all, if we're disciplined as a disciple, we can and we will be able to bring down or destroy or demolish strongholds. Did you see that in verse 4 and 5? He talks about these strongholds here. Look at that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These would be listed as almost like a fortress, if you will. There's fortresses that are set up against us. And to have those pulled down, he says, it has to be done through spiritual warfare. That's how the victory was won in Paul's life. That's how the victory is going to be won in our lives today. Now listen, our strongholds today are literal, they're real, and they're mighty. And they're right upon us today. But we have mightier power through the Spirit of God to pull down these strongholds and gain the victory over them. These strongholds Paul talks about here are sort of like it was in the Old Testament. You remember when the Israelites were going to go over into Canaan's land and they came up against Jericho. Jericho was a fortified fortress, was it not? It stood right in their direct path of them going to the promised land and having the victory that God had promised them all along. That same scenario spiritually is looking us right in the face today. It's standing right before us to deter us, to hinder us, to keep us from experiencing the victory which is already promised us in Christ Jesus. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the victory is already ours, but we have fortresses. We have strongholds that stand in our way. Now, before you talk about how to get rid of these strongholds, we need to understand what they are. There's several we need to look at. First of all, it's the mental strongholds that are before us today. I know you've heard people say, and I've heard it too, that your mind is the real battleground of your life. I believe that. I sincerely believe that. Where does the devil pounce on you first? In your mind. If he can defeat you mentally, I promise you, he will defeat you bodily. So our first stronghold is a mental stronghold, a mental fortress, if you will. Indeed, they are mighty. But we have divine power, you see, mightier than the mental powers to bring down or pull down these fortresses, these strongholds in our lives. We've got to realize what Paul wrote again. I lean heavily on what he said in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Primarily verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans. Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that you may know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you're ever going to have the victory in Christ Jesus, it begins mentally. And Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus." We have to ask ourselves, where are our minds today? Where's the battle raging today? It begins in the mental area, does it not? That's where Satan started in Eve, if you go all the way back to the beginning of mankind. He started putting doubt in her mind about how good God was, how bad God was holding things from them, and God was just being really preferential toward them, that he wouldn't give them certain things, wouldn't let them do certain things. He put a doubt in her mind, and the mental battle was won in her mind, and it affected them bodily, didn't it? Same thing holds true from Adam and Eve right on down to your life and my life and everybody's life. If you let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, it will drastically help us to discipline our lives to serve Him, and He'll have to give us the divine power to do that, to destroy these mental strongholds, to destroy these fortresses that are set up and arrayed against us today. I hope you see them. If you don't, I hope you see them today before you leave. Mental strongholds need to be pulled down, but they're also spiritual strongholds. Did you see what he said in verse 5? Look at that verse. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Would you not agree? The world hates Jesus. Would you not agree the world hates the gospel? Would you not agree the world hates the church? Would you not agree the world hates you? The world is absolutely congealed, if you will, in a main effort spiritually against the gospel, against Christ, against the church, and against you. We have never seen in our lives up to this point spiritual domination like we're going to see in days to come. We've always had the liberty to worship God as we so felt to choose to do so, as God led us to do. I want to tell you, there are some spiritual strongholds being put in place that's going to stand against you worshiping God as you freely have done most of your lives. Most of us here are at least middle-aged to older. We've had a lot of number of years to serve the Lord freely and spiritually as we'd love to do so. But I'm going to tell you, in the future, you're going to have to battle these strongholds. They're coming against us as we speak today. But Paul says these strongholds can be and must be pulled down. These fortresses must be breached, and they can only be breached through the spiritual realm. So Paul says, if you'll discipline yourself, beloved, you can pull down these strongholds. That's the only way to do it. But then he says a second thing. He said, not only are you going to be able to pull down these strongholds, destroy them, he said, you're going to have to learn to discipline your thoughts. Look at that verse 5 again very carefully. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." How'd Paul do it in his day? We know that he did. How are we going to do it today? The same way that Paul did it in those days. It's through personal, individual discipline. Now listen, discipline spiritually is not easy. And spiritual discipline does not come easily. Well, how then did Paul do it? How did it be accomplished in our lives? Look at what he said. You got to discipline your thoughts to overcome, first of all, or take captive, he says, these imaginations and these high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It's almost like a military term. We can better maybe understand it through a military sense. If a military of whatever nation wants to overcome another nation in a military battle, one of them has to surround the other, make it impossible for the one they're wanting to take captive to render combat against them. They have to be surrounded and taken captive so that that enemy cannot combat against them. That's what he's talking about here. These imaginations, these high things that exalt themselves. And you're seeing it pop up everywhere you look. If you look very far out beyond any of your nose, you can see those things popping up today. They have to be taken captive as a military would. Surround them. Render them unable to combat against us. That's how it's done spiritually. Through the mighty power of God. We've got to be careful, beloved, to be on the lookout in our lives for any imagination, any high thing that exalts itself against God. If it comes into our lives, you've got to bring it down. You've got to surround it. You've got to take it captive and render it in unable to combat you. Listen, the enemy has to be subdued, has to be surrounded, has to be subdued, has to be taken captive and rendered ineffective. That's what's got to happen in our lives today. Every unchristlike thought, you have to take it captive, you see. Surround it. Pull it down. Bring it into subjection, into the obedience of Christ. If you don't take those thoughts captive, listen to me carefully, they'll take you captive. A lot of folks have already been taken captive by the devil at his will already in our nation. I know you can see it. Don't allow that to happen to you. God help us. Don't let that happen to our church. Don't let that happen to God's church worldwide today. We've got to discipline our thoughts to overcome and take captive to those things that are against God. And they are many, and they are all around us, aren't they? Not only, he says, do you have to overcome them by taking them captive, he says you have to obey them to triumph in Christ, obey the Lord. Listen, take that unchristlike thought. Take it captive. When you do that, it'll make it much easier to obey the Lord. Without that constant turmoil going on in your mind, that constant battle going on with the good against evil, the devil against Christians, it's so much easier, you see, to obey the Lord when you take those things captive and subdue them and make them come captive to Jesus Christ. This mind that's in us got to be the mind of Christ Jesus. Paul says, then you've got to discipline your thoughts. There's where your battle begins. There's where the battle's won, or there's where the battle is lost. He says we've got to destroy those strongholds, those fortresses that are against us. We've got to discipline our thoughts and our thought patterns and bring them into subjection to the mind of Christ and the obedience of Christ. And then he says, thirdly, we have got to dedicate or rededicate ourselves to Christ. Look at verse 6. And having inner readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If through the power of God we can destroy or demolish those strongholds, and if through the power of God, if we can discipline our thinking, it won't be so hard to dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord. Paul said on occasion, he said, I beat my body daily into subjection so that I will obey the Lord. It's a daily thing, Paul says, in my life. It's a daily thing in your life. Every day you live, you must rededicate your life to the service of the Lord. Paul said, I have to do it daily. Well, don't we have to do it daily as well? Shouldn't we rededicate our lives to the Lord every day? As Amanda said earlier, I think, when you get up in the morning before you get out in the world, just rededicate your life that day to whatever God has in store for you, whatever God's will is for you that day, whatever God wants you to do that day, you do that. Daily, Paul says, rededicate your life to Christ. How do you do that, Paul? How did you accomplish that, Paul? How can I accomplish that in my life today? Well, he tells us in that same verse, he says, through a readiness to revenge those disobedient things that are against Christ, ready to punish them. Put them away, he says, all those things that are disobedient to Christ. Are we ready to do that today? I must ask myself that question, as you must ask yourself that question. Are you ready to put away everything in your life? He said everything, not most things, not little things. He said everything must be have put away. The readiness in your life must be there to do that. Well, are you ready to let God take away any and all disobedience out of your life? Do you have that readiness? Say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, if you don't have that readiness, let me ask you this. Would you pray, God, give me that readiness? Give me that readiness that Paul had to, if need be, beat my body spiritually into subjection every day, that I might totally and freely, individually and personally obey the Lord. That readiness must be in us, church. It must be in us as individuals. A readiness to revenge, bring revenge upon those disobedient things. And then he said there's a response. You have to rely on Christ. You can't do it yourself. You're not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We don't have the resources to do that within ourselves. We have to rely in our response to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about how your obedience, he says, will be completed. You notice that? Or fulfilled. Paul dedicated himself to every act of disobedience in his life would be put away that he might totally, freely, and personally obey the Lord. Now, that comes fairly easy in one respect. Let's say, for instance, there's something in your life that God reveals to you that needs to be taken captive and put away. Well, if it's a thing that's kind of if or if not with you, you can do it. If it's easy, if it's convenient, or if it's comfortable for you to do that, we can fairly well do that. But when Christ starts getting real close to the core of your life, and He starts talking to you about that thought in your life that you need to put away, that you don't want to put away, or He starts talking in your life about that thing you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, that should be put away, or that place you may be going, that thing you may be viewing, whatever it may be in your life that's so close that you enjoy so much, that little private pet sin, you might say, when God gets real close to Christ and tells you, that needs to go, that's where we hit trouble, isn't it? That's when our wills rise up against the will of God. But Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God for you. It begins to get real thorny in our lives when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and points out things to my life and yours that you don't want to give up, that you don't want to stop doing, or something you need to start doing that you don't want to do. Paul says here, partial obedience is really disobedience in the long run. It's like it was back in the days of Saul. You remember when Saul was to bring all the, was kill all the sheep and the king Agag, and he let King Agag live and brought back all the sheep. And Samuel said, Saul, he said, to obey the Lord is better than the fat of rams. He said, you've not only been partially obedient, you've been totally disobedient to the Lord. And Paul and Saul paid a real price for that in his life. Notice here in this verse, Paul talks about bringing under subjection every thought. Not most thoughts, every thought. All those activities, not just a few of them, not just the easy ones, but every activity needs to be brought under complete obedience of Christ. Listen, not just what you want to do, or what I might want to do, but what Christ wants for me, and what Christ wants for you. There's where it is. If we let Him, through our lives, in the Spirit of God, destroy those strongholds I mean, really discipline our thoughts, then we can really dedicate our lives to the Lord's service. Listen, I want to close with this. Are you ready now to do that? Are you ready to have those strongholds destroyed, demolished, breached, and put away? Are you ready in your life to discipline? Let the Lord discipline. You know, I can't discipline my life. I don't have it within me to do that. Neither do you, if you'll admit it. You can't discipline your thoughts. It has to be God through Christ by the Holy Spirit of God in your life to discipline those things in your life. Are you ready to allow Him to do that? Destroy those strongholds. Really dedicate yourself to the Lord. Beloved, listen, it's time for the church to do that. It's past time for the church to do that. It's past time in your life and mine when we must rededicate our lives and let our lives so stand, let our light so shine that the world can see truth, because Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. It's not through human philosophies. It's not through human reasoning. It's not through human secularism. It's not through government or laws. It is through the knowledge of God. And you're only going to have the knowledge of God in Christ in this book. In this book. Right there. There's where you need to plunge yourself today. To get the real knowledge of God. He'll help you stand when the days get tough. And I'm telling you, they're going to get tough. It's going to get tough for the church. We're going to be censored in what I preach. And what I say. Probably sometime I'm going to be arrested for preaching a hate crime to some people's notions. Sometime it's going to get tough for the church to stand up when they want to close the doors on free religion today. Just be prepared. Be prepared to be that disciple that will be disciplined. And if need be, like Paul, give our lives. As long as you give your life for the truth, you're the victor. Like Mike and I were talking earlier in closing, an old song years ago that the inspiration sang many times. Portions of that song said something like this: whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way. I'm going to be a winner. What about you? I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord every day till I see Jesus face to face. I hope you will. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I've never really dedicated my life to the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. I tell you where it begins. It begins with you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you and forgive you of your sins and welcome Him into your life as your Lord and Master. And there's where the victory is won. If you don't know Jesus, you need to do that today. If you do, then all of us need to rededicate our lives like Paul and set a course straight to heaven. If it goes through Calvary, that's okay. If it goes through death, that's okay. If it goes through hardship, that's okay. Whatever comes in the road of life, I know where the journey ends. What about you? Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray today for those who may be viewing us or listening to us, that if there's one or more of those there that realizes that the victory can only be won through Christ, that they will today give their heart and life to You. Repent of their sins and ask Jesus Christ to save them, come into their life, and welcome Him as Lord of their life as well. And then, Lord, for we who know You, the disciples of Jesus Christ, we are the saved. We are part of the church, the bride of Christ. And, Lord, I know You're coming for Your bride soon. And I want to have Your bride adorned in a manner that will be pleasing and welcoming when You return for us, irregardless of what comes or goes in this life in the days to come. We know that the victory is ours in Christ. Help us so walk in that victory. Live in that victory and help others to do the same, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church in his message entitled Disciplined Disciples. Are you one? Or is that something you need to work on? Pray to God, get some help. Thank you for joining us. You can find out more about us on our website. Our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. We do have services at 10:45 on Sundays. That's tomorrow. If you'd like to join us, find out directions on our website. Or you can watch us live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.